another endearingly shambolic podcast from WeDigPodcasts.com.
Hi, we dig music, and because of this, we've kept the music in our podcast at a low background level because we believe that you should support the artist by buying their records and going to their gigs. If you want to hear the songs in full, we've made Spotify playlists of all available music featured in each episode, which you can find on WeDigPodcasts.com. You can also join in the discussion on Facebook and Twitter by searching at WeDigMusicPcast. Finally, if you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, write a review if possible, and tell all your friends that you think would enjoy it. Anyway, enough of my yakking. On with the podcast.
Okay, so this episode of We Dig Music.
Let's do a hello first.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Hello, and welcome to We Dig Music. I'm Ian, and with me, as always, are my comrades and co-hosts, Colin.
Hello.
And Tracy.
Hello.
This episode, we're doing a 1999 special because it is our first anniversary.
Second anniversary. It's the first anniversary of Tracy fucking up the Twitter by saying it's our first anniversary.
Ah, yes, by telling Twitter that we are, in fact, a one-year-old.
Yes, at which point, don't do that because it will freeze your account.
For months.
So, we are not a one-year-old, and we are not 1 year old.
No, we're 2 years old.
We are 2 years old.
The terrible twos.
We didn't do a first birthday celebration, because
we just ended the series and started the next one.
But this one, we're doing it differently, and this is how we're doing it. It's like the Christmas special, but 10 years ago. 20 years ago. Anyway, that's what we're doing. So, same format.
And also, the levels are okay, because that fuck didn't peak it.
I backed up off the mic.
Well done.
Like Chocolate Rain style. To breathe in.
That's a nearly 20-year-old reference, I think.
Yep. So what we're doing is we each picked 10 tracks, then we rated each other's tracks.
So our favourite songs of 1999.
And then Colin's very tolerant wife has put them all together into a master list.
Yes. And collated all of the points.
Are we allowed to describe things as the master list, or is that just a bit... No?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, as long as it's not like the master race, that's generally... But as it's not a race, it's all good.
So, don't dehumanise letters and words.
What about deletter? I don't even know where I was going with that.
Anyway, on with the show.
Who's got the first... So the countdown first envelope is...
Ah, it's Teabag. Teabag has it.
Me. But I thought we were going to talk a little bit about 1999 in general before.
We can talk about that if you want, Teabag.
It was 20 years ago.
I don't think I like being nicknamed Teabag.
Old bag?
Fuck you.
I'm sorry.
So, 1999, it was a really weird year for me, actually. I'd moved down...
It's your 50th birthday, wasn't it?
Something like that.
It's a weird year for Prince as well.
Yes.
Because he'd released that song ages ago.
Yeah.
I'd moved to London just the year before it, after splitting up with a long-time boyfriend. And I was in a bit of a musical stagnant period. I wasn't actually buying or listening to new music.
Is this when you got into the wedding present?
It's years before.
No.
So, but actually, in 1999, my list of 10 tracks, only two of them were albums I actually bought in that year. The rest of them is made up of stuff I've bought, since, yeah.
Well, some of mine...
Yeah, a surprising amount of vinyl like that as well.
I've got a fair bit I was listening to at the time, but yeah, there's definitely some that I've picked up on later on and would have loved at the time. Yeah,
there's a couple on mine that I just... would not have given a fuck about it at the time.
Yeah. So 1999, I just really wasn't listening to new stuff at all. But I also had a quick look of bands who were formed and bands who split in 99. Bands formed, Blaze Bailey. I'm presuming solo.
He's older than that.
I'm presuming that was the beginning of his solo.
Like Voltron. It was just this tiny little Blaze Bailey, and then he recruited some other musicians and he plugged himself into them and turned into a massive giant metal beer.
Amazing. Mouth. So basically his first solo album.
I'm imagining so. Other bands, Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, fuck.
Never mind.
Explosions in the Sky.
Yay.
And the Kingsbury Manx.
Who? Yeah.
Oh, that only you and Keith and a couple of other people care about.
And Rob Morgan.
Okay.
Utterly adores them.
That was who posted about them the other day on
Twitter. He would have been,
Twitter.
Yeah. Band splitting this year, Pavement. Madder Rose.
Who?
And you're both going to get, the Voodoo Queens.
Again.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were some...
They were a Riot Girl band.
Okay.
They were very, very good.
I'm reasonably well-known certain there's like 100 or so bands that I have heard of that split in 99, yes. But
we didn't look it up, so...
No,
so you're only getting the ones that I considered noteworthy.
I was at college in 1999. I was doing a pop music and recording course.
Oh, I remember when you were doing that.
Yeah. Does that mean you remember what you were doing in 99 yet?
Not much. Not much.
Ian was hoping I was going to jog his memory.
Yeah, no, that was what I was doing, is not much.
I was
trying to be in a band. I think I was a computer technician at that point, maybe.
That sounds about right. You were playing in SA10 at that point. I don't think it was Kill Miners yet.
I think.
And I was playing in Banzai Moon.
Ah, yes.
Which was my first proper band. But none of those songs will feature in anybody's top 10s in the universe. So, shall we go on to some that will?
Nothing Left is actually still a badass song.
Here's Darth Vader.
So, it's me opening the first envelope. Yep. I hate doing the first one because it means I have to deal with all the fucking disappointment.
You shouldn't have picked that one.
You shouldn't have picked such shit songs, should you?
We don't know that they're all traces.
It's not necessarily my disappointment. Right, so which way does it go? That way. Okay, so
make sure you've got your head round it first.
Yeah. So it starts at the top or the bottom, isn't it? It starts at the bottom.
It'll be the one with the lowest number of points that you read first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in 30th position.
Just need to explain to Tracy how countdowns work.
Go on then. 30th position.
In 30th position is Annie DeFranco.
Well, fuck you.
Which was one of Colin's.
That was...
That'll be the one that Ian said earlier that he hated more than anything else.
Fucking... No,
More than anything else on the list.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's... Yeah, no, I just didn't like it, man. It was...
I didn't. I really didn't get on with it. It was... There was really weird little ringing guitar notes that just ringing out, and they were really jarring.
I just didn't like the lyrical content.
She's an amazing guitarist.
I agree with her political points, but they were just a bit fucking clumsily done.
She's very, very, very political, and pretty much all of her songs are very in your face with the politics. I have put on here my notes say an acquired taste, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, with so little going on in the song musically, it just went on for too long.
It builds up later on.
It's a fucking long ass song, isn't it? How long is it? It doesn't build to much.
I don't know.
Because it seemed to go on for days.
I think it's about 5-6 minutes, maybe.
Really?
Might be 7.
I'd not heard of her before.
I'd heard of her, but I'd not heard her.
She's a basically sort of feminist folk icon.
Yeah.
She's she gets lumped in with like the Lilith Fair scene, which is like it was an all female touring festival in the 90s.
So perhaps I should have been aware.
But she's my friend Grace, who sang backing vocals on the Driven Like the Snow album. She used to play quite a few Annie DeFranco songs at open mics. So that's how I got into it.
I might have liked it more with her singing.
Possibly. It's a very Marmite voice, definitely.
Honestly, it wasn't the voice. It was just like the clumsiness of the lyrics. Like, it was just a bit fucking...
And her guitar playing's fucking amazing. She's really percussive. And, I did put on there that Ian's mate Jesus wouldn't like the hidden instruments.
No,
because they do all just turn up
at
the end.
It's not Jesus, it's Jesus.
And there's even possibly an accordion at the end.
There is.
And I still didn't like it.
Well, thank you. Next one.
So moving on to 29th position is one of mine, actually.
Uh-huh.
Songs Are Higher.
Okay.
So...
Which one was that?
Love and Work.
Oh, God, I fucking hated that so much. Yeah.
I got it.
That wasn't my lowest rated one, though. Like, I think that was second to lowest.
That was my second to lowest. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
They're a band that I've heard the name
It's Jason Molina.
Right, that's why.
Yeah.
I've heard.
I thought you'd know who
he
is. Yeah,
that explains why I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one that I've only got into in the last year, maybe. This is from a recommendation on Twitter from Will. I think he's got a wonderful voice, but he's also got a vast back catalogue.
Is that because he just does the same chorus over and over and over again in every single song?
Well, there's a massive time change because the verses are way slower than the chorus.
Yeah, and
that's a bit jarring.
You know, but that always gets on my tits.
I've put reminds me of like an indie Neil Young in the verses.
Yeah.
In the verses, at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, see that. But I mean, I've got into loads of Americana in the last few years, way more than I ever used to listen to.
But you used to listen to a fair bit.
Yeah.
And now it's even more.
But I've really got into it in the last sort of maybe 4 or 5 years. So I think this is the most recent one I've picked up. And
what's next?
Next in position. Oh, actually, that was joint 29th.
This is why you have to read it.
I know, sorry. In joint 29th is Mindless Self-Indulgence.
One of Ian's, so we've all
which
got one each.
Ian's, so
that's nice, a Method Man cover.
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Hilariously, I can sing along with that, but I cannot rap along with the Method Man version of it.
That's because Method Man is a way more talented artist.
Like, this is a harder vocal line to follow because it's all over the damn shop.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like really odd industrial screeching nonsense.
See, my notes I've put on here, bloody hell, this is dated badly. I quite liked some of Mindless Self-Indulgence stuff at the time.
Yeah.
Their entire like modus operandi was to like shock and annoy people.
Yep.
And perhaps I've reached the age where it fucking does that. Not the shocking. I don't find it shocking at all. But it's definitely annoying. It's like sort of he's heard Marilyn Manson and gone, oh look at me, I'm crazy. I'm going to do vocals like that.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the major problems is the way that he's covering a Method Man song and the lyrical content of that song. Being a white man,
yeah, you
when
can't
every
really
other word
say
is the N-word.
Oh, the song, by the way, is Bring the Pain. I didn't
yeah.
mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I feel like you shouldn't. That's definitely like.
I've put it, he wouldn't be brave enough to go and play that on an outdoor gig in Staten Island.
No. I met him. He's lovely.
Yeah.
He's really nice.
He might be, but his music's
also the bass player is Gerard Way's wife.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Also lovely.
Fair enough. Next one.
It's got the joint numbers 29, next to them, so in 27th position.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is pronounced Marduk or Mard UK.
Marduk.
Mard UK.
It looked like it might be.
I really want to call my band Mard, but there's another band from Sweden called Mard.
Oh, don't be in a Mard.
Mard UK, like the London Suede.
It was last on my list, I'm not going to lie.
Song is Panzer Division Marduk, because you've not read that again.
Yep.
I haven't, sorry. Panzer Division Mard UK. Actually, it was right in the middle of my choices for yours.
That's interesting.
I've got
really
it pretty
liked
low.
It because it was just kind of... is that a narco-thrash punk sound?
It's black metal.
It's
black metal.
I called it a narco-thrash punk.
You've called it wrong.
either way, it's pretty fucking cool.
This same album is the one that has the song Christ Raping Black Metal on it.
Yes.
So they are definitely black metal.
Christ Raping Black Metal, in fact.
Yep.
In fact.
But the problem that I have with a lot of black metal is it's supposed to be the most extreme, heavy sound possible.
And
there's no fucking low end, so it's not heavy at all.
But it's so abrasive.
It's abrasive, but it just sounds like static a lot of the time. And you've got bands like Analnathrak who are taking the same idea, but they've got massive fucking bass to it.
Yeah, and lots
of
production.
And they make it heavy.
But this is True and Cult.
Yeah.
This is what True and Cult is most meant to sound. You know what I mean.
I do.
Like, this is...
it's like a blaze in the northern sky.
I feel like I'm pulling a Tracy and making an excuse for shoddy production. But, like, this is actually what they were deliberately trying to sound like.
Yeah, I know. They succeeded in what they were doing, absolutely. It's just really not for me.
I liked it. I did.
There you go. Consider there's another band that I've got you into, Tracy.
You liked it because it was an arco... what, thrash punk?
Oh, yeah.
similar, but it's not the same.
Yeah, kind of chaotic and
it's very
frenetic.
Chaotic and very relentless.
They both generally had monochrome black and white album covers.
Yep.
So, but yeah.
So it worked some, you know, it worked alongside someone like Crass, maybe.
It's kind of like parallel evolution. It's that they're not really taking influence from the same places, but they're coming up with a similar kind of result.
I guess it's just that anger thing, isn't it? Yeah. Anger and energy.
All right, John Lydon.
Okay, 26th position is another of mine, sadly, is Wilco, I'm Always in Love. So, I mean, I did say that I've got into Americana a lot in the last few years. I'm noticing you two haven't, because I'm seeing a lot of Americana in the bottom 10.
Honestly,
there's a lot of good Americana around, it just wasn't it.
I see interviews with Niels Klein, I dig his guitar rig, I really want to like Wilco. And then I listen to Wilco.
I like Yankee Hotel Foxtrot a lot more than Summer Teeth.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Also, that keyboard line. Fuck that keyboard line. That has dated so badly.
As a contrast, I really dig the synth sound. Overall, a bit like Pavement, but with cooler synth noises. Is what I've written here.
But again, Wilco's a band I've only really started getting into in the last maybe 5 years, And another one with a big back catalogue and side projects, and I'll never really catch up with it all.
No.
It's one of those bands, because like, he plays some weird noises, Neil Klein does, and I'm like, where are they? are they just really cool interludes of weird shit that I don't hear?
This is a very poppy song.
Yes, it is.
It's a very me song.
I don't know if it's every live gig, but they do a lot of live gigs where they play like absolutely shitloads of covers, which look like they're a lot of fun as well.
So we have Joint 25th.
Okay, how many Joint 25ths?
Six.
Three. So in Joint, so the first Joint 25th is Aphex Twin, Window Licker.
Motherfuckers.
I voted last but one.
Because you don't understand it.
Because I've been familiar with it for many, many years. I think it's better with the video, to be honest.
The video's absolutely amazing, groundbreaking.
It's not my kind of electronica. It's a bit too heavy for me.
Good job it wasn't 3 years earlier that we were doing Come to Daddy on there. Then.
Yeah, right. Did you watch the video?
No.
Oh, it's magnificent. It's very upsetting.
Richard D. You'll have seen the cover picture, which is Richard D. James's face.
Ah, it's not his face. It's an approximation of his face. Yeah. He's actually better looking than that, thankfully.
But it's his face distorted.
Yeah.
On a model in a bikini's body.
And that's basically the whole video, except it's like tens of 20 girls with his face.
It's a parody of the sort of hip-hop videos and R&B of the late 90s. Yeah. And he was also going for a parody of the R&B stuff with the sound.
And which is why there's so many weird sex noises in there.
Yeah. But then you've got the bit at the end where it all goes distorted. It's fucking awesome. And I've loved it since it came out, and it's still great. That said, I've got it as three on my list, but they're my top 10 of the...
Yeah.
The next one in 25th place is Smog, Cold-Blooded Old Times.
Oh my god, I hated this so much.
You really did. You gave it bottom mark.
I'd have given it fucking zero if I could. I hated it so much.
I like Bill Callahan's voice.
I love Bill Callahan's voice. He's touring at the moment, but he's only playing Manchester, London, Glasgow, which has really upset me because I would love.
He did it personally just to annoy you.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
No, he did it to me so that he would be nowhere near me.
Now, he's another one that I've got into through Will on Twitter. A few years ago.
Have you heard?
It's one of Will's favourite singers.
See, there's a much...
I didn't dislike his vocals, I just thought the song was awful.
Yeah, it's definitely not anywhere near one of his best songs.
Really? I think it's like drone Americana. I love it.
Not a good kind
of drone. Have you heard Sometimes I Wish We Were an Eagle?
Yes, I've got that.
That is a fucking amazing album.
It really is. It's beautiful.
You know, all... What is it? All things are prey to some beast. or something is a fucking brilliant song.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Okay.
It's a bit of Bill Callahan solo.
But yeah, of that song that you've chosen, which I don't think you've said the name of again.
Yes, you did actually. Okay. Cold-blooded old times.
Sorry.
Also, it gets said so many times in that song.
He does say it a lot.
fucking lot.
It's not as good as anything on that album, I don't think.
But that wasn't 1999.
No, it wasn't.
I couldn't have picked anything.
That is true, but he's done better things.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And the last one that's in 25th place is the Dillinger Escape Plan of Ian's list, a song called 43% Burnt.
See, I knew you wouldn't really dig that because it's a bit much.
I didn't give it bottom marks.
It's noodly though, isn't it?
What did I put in my notes about it?
I am curious, genuinely curious.
actually, what I did put is this someone I'm supposed to know, a side project of an artist we've covered elsewhere?
Nope.
Oh.
you could have looked that up.
I looked it up and couldn't find a link.
Because they're not.
The only link to a more mainstream band that we've discussed but not done an episode of is Chris Penny, who is now in Coheed and Cambria.
Right.
Here's the soundbite.
Also, Mike Patton has done stuff with them.
That's where I'm getting the link.
Yes.
The Faith No More episode.
We put a track on the playlist.
It was their version of Come to Daddy, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Hollywood Squares.
Yes.
So here's the soundbite you're waiting for, Ian.
Yep.
Extreme Noodling Mathcore.
Yeah, they are mathcore.
They are
the progenitors.
Yeah, but that's not a good thing for me.
So I used to listen to Dingalinger Escape Plan, as our mate Scott once said when he was very drunk, and I've called them that ever since. I used to listen to them a lot more than I do now, mainly for its sheer obnoxious noise potential.
Yeah, because there's so many time changes in that song.
When I was at uni, living in halls, my flatmate who lived in the room next to me was a girl from Norway.
Yeah.
Who, the kind of music she used to listen to was things like Wigfield and Ace of Base, but
yeah,
their like seventh album, because this was years after they'd had hits. Apparently they carried on having hits in Norway.
Yeah, well, I can imagine why Ace of Base would go down well. I think the black metal scene would dig Ace of Base.
What, because they're Nazis?
Yes. Look that one up. It's one of my favourite conspiracy theories. Although the main composer was in fact a fucking horrible racist,
yes,
in his previous skinhead anarcho punk band.
So I once, one day after being woken up when she'd come in from the pub at like 2 o'clock in the morning and put fucking Wigfield on, and woken me up. I then woke up at 7 the next morning, put 43% Burnt on repeat, and went out for a few hours.
Nice. I bet she fucking hated you.
Yeah.
And everyone else that lived in there.
So I'd see it more as a weapon than an enjoyable thing to listen to on a Sunday morning.
I was in a very short-lived project where we tried to learn this.
Was that with Tatty?
Yeah, Tatty, yeah. Benji and Rob Terry.
Yes.
There's a bunch of people you'd never think would be in the same room musically, but we were.
Was it basically a fight?
No, it was all right, actually. Cool. Me, Rob Terry and Benji got on better. Tatty was very much trying to direct it in his...
Of course he was.
..in his way of things. Beardy Sheldon.
So, we don't have any more ties. We 22nd position. Colin, you're going to be heartbroken. It's Tori Amos.
I'm going to fight you all.
And a song called Cooling.
Not that I didn't like it. It's that I didn't like it as much as other things.
Other things on my list, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
As long as it was still in your top 10 of the favourite songs that I'd put on there, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it was in my top 10 of your 10 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it came in the middle of the list for me, 5.
Did I give it?
You gave it 4.
There you go, see.
There were potentially other songs that I could have put on that may have gone down better, but
I love her voice and I love her piano playing, but somehow this song didn't really grab me.
Well, it grabbed me enough to name my band after a lyric from it.
Yes. Oh, is it from that song?
Yes.
Right.
Driven Like the Snow.
There you go, then.
Is what she says in the chorus.
Which
you obviously listen really carefully because you're in the fucking band.
Yeah. What's the name of the band that you're in, Tracy?
I just didn't know which song and I didn't notice when I was listening to it.
Yeah. So that record was...
It was a live version.
Yeah, well, it was a double CD, that album. The first CD was a studio one, and it was her first sort of misstep. The studio side, it's got a couple of good tracks, but it's the first of the not particularly good ones. Everything before that I love. But the live disc is amazing. There's an opening version of Precious Things on there that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But I had to go with that one because, I mean, it is one of my favourite songs.
Yeah.
I don't like it as much as I used to. But there's a bit where her voice sort of cracks just after she said, "Is your place in heaven worth giving up these kisses?" The voice goes sort of like, kind of distorted, and it's fucking beautiful, and I really like it. But again, definitely an acquired taste. A lot of people absolutely hate her, and that's absolutely fine.
I don't hate her.
No, me neither.
I'm not very familiar with a lot of her stuff.
We'll do an episode, definitely, at some point.
Definitely.
Over the years, I have been... I'm not so much these days, but I have been a massive Tori Amos fan.
Yeah, I know.
So there will be,
literally,
definitely.
Anyone that knows you knows that.
Yes.
And the last one on my part of this chart, in 21st place, is one of mine, Grant Hart, You Don't Have to Tell Me Now.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I feel I've done this one a disservice, because both Colin and Ian are giving it 6 points. I only gave it one. It still made my top 10 of 1999.
Yeah, of course.
It's another one that I didn't know then. I mean, as much as I love Grant Hart Husker Du tracks, I've never really got along with his solo stuff or his side projects as much. And I bought this album, the album it's from, Good News for Modern Man, maybe about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I do really like it, but I don't like any of his other solo albums.
Okay. The main takeaway I had from that was, like Bob Mould, after Husker Du split, they learned how to record properly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised when you were like, he's from Husker, like, what?
Yeah,
but the production on here is really nice.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
I don't think it's
a great song. It's just I didn't like it as much as the rest I put on my list.
And his songs of, like you said, with the Husker Du songs, I prefer his songs to Bob Mould.
Yeah, absolutely.
But afterwards, I prefer, like, particularly I prefer Sugar.
Yeah.
Beaster by Sugar is fucking amazing.
Still doesn't beat Copper Blue for me.
Yeah, it does.
But
it does for me.
But I mean, but then I've loved almost everything Bob has done solo.
Cool,
Bob.
Bob. So who's got the middle section of the charts?
I believe that is Ian.
I've got it.
So envelope number two.
Can I request that these be sealed less thoroughly next time?
I shall pass that feedback on to Helen.
Bit of a faff. Surely when she listens to the episode, she'll get the feedback.
Yeah, but it'll take her a while. I think she's only listened to, like, the first few.
For shame.
Her commute's only 10 minutes, and Elodie's in the car, so she can't listen to it.
I gotta say, is that because we swear?
Because we swear a lot, and she'll recognise my voice and definitely copy it.
Also, potentially, she'll recognise my voice as your voice, as many people do.
Loads of people do, yeah.
Right, I don't know why you were confused by this, to be honest, Tracy, because, like, this is pretty, pretty clearly laid out.
Shut up.
Right, okay. 20th.
Ooh.
Jimmy Eat World. For me, this is heaven.
Oh,
Colin, you did this.
I gave it one.
Tracy gave it four. I gave it a massive 9.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah, I really
Excellent.
Liked it.
This band's never done
really
anything
liked
for
it.
Me. I just see them as music for 15-year-olds.
With very Kozelekian lyrics.
Yes. But not as much as Fall Out Boy.
No, apparently not.
Because,
yes,
you know,
we got
that,
you again.
Because that fooled me again, didn't it? You know, she was...
And that was like that was their biggest song. That was Fall Out Boy's biggest song.
We all know that you're a massive Fall Out Boy fan.
You should listen to them, because apparently you'd really like them.
Well, lyrically.
But yeah, I'd got this as number one, because it was my 10th favourite of the year.
Yeah.
So obviously still good. Clarity is a fucking brilliant album, and I was really torn which track to go with. I wanted to go with Goodbye Sky Harbour, but I think this is overall a better song.
Yeah.
Goodbye Sky Harbour is most of its sort of 15 minutes of electronic noise.
That doesn't sound like I'd have hated it.
No. Give it a listen. I think you'll dig it.
Yeah.
It's very repetitive. You wouldn't. You'd have gone, this is krautrock. Because it basically is.
I like repetitive.
Bose. Next one.
Okay. Next one. I'm going to surprise people with this. Bonnie Prince Billy, Death to Everyone. Colin hated it. Tracy middled it. I fucking loved it.
Really?
I gave it a 10.
Wow.
You know why?
Because it's fucking depressing?
No, because Will Oldham's on the Tweaker album. So I'm familiar with his voice and I really love his voice.
Yeah.
Did you know that Will Oldham's...
Also, the production was great. Like, it was just a good song. It's not standard Tracy fare at all. Like, the music was good, the singing was good, the lyrics were good.
Will Oldham's dad took the cover photo for Slint's Spiderland.
Yes. I did know that. I knew there was a connection. There's definitely been times where I would have been really, really, really into that track.
Yeah.
But I just found it a bit dirgy.
Oh, I adore it.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Do you know what? I actually should have just passed over my Best of 1999 to Will, because this is another one I got into through Will a few years ago.
Mr. McAlpine, have you been doing somebody else's homework?
he doesn't know my list. I haven't told him about this.
You don't know my list.
But, I mean, I've only got a few albums, but if you look at the Will Oldham and Palace Music and Palace Brothers, all of the other side projects, you'd never, ever get up to date with the back.
Aren't they all pretty much him, but under different names as well?
Yeah.
A bit like Fetus and Scraping Fetus Off the Wheel and various other Jim Thirlwell projects.
But the album this one's from, I See a Darkness, is...
That's supposed amazing. To be his classic, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
I've never listened to the whole thing. I will check it out at some point. But
have you heard the Tweaker album?
No,
it's got the dude from Japan on it as well. So I think you'd actually
really.
So it's kind of industrial type stuff.
Yeah, it's the
which dude from Japan? I mean, David Sylvian.
Yeah, David
really?
Sylvian. It's got some like Will Oldham's on a couple of tracks.
Because who is it that's got Richard Barbary? Which band do you like?
Oh, Porcupine Tree.
Yeah.
Yes. And I always thought I'd like them more just because it had him playing keyboards on it. But no.
But yeah, Tweaker's really good. It's Chris Renner from Nine Inch Nails, the drummer. Yeah.
But David Sylvian, oh, God.
Yeah, he's on the song Linoleum, which is a fucking phenomenal song. I'll play it you when we take a break.
Oh, please do.
I will. Okay, number 19 also, tied, Slipknot, Sick.
Oh, I'd got that as higher.
I know. Colin got it at 7. Tracy fucking hated it at 2. I got it at 6.
It's just not my bag, really, Slipknot.
It's just not my bag, baby. That's a very 1999 reference.
It really is.
Hey, really not.
Slipknot. My bag, baby.
I've put in brackets not with a K as well. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, terrible. That's the name of a Slipknot tribute band.
Slipknot.
Yeah. No, really, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's amazing, like, brutal, driving guitar in it, but I don't like his vocals. Never liked his vocals.
See, I like his vocals less nowadays.
Yeah.
I listened to that whole album the other day on the way to work, and it's fucking great. Like, his vocal range is really impressive.
Well, I remember when we first heard it, and it sounded like the fucking heaviest thing in the universe.
Yeah.
It was... So there was a track called Eyeless on Kerrang! Spirit of Independence.
Yes, that's the You Can't See California Without Marlon Brando's Eyeless.
That's the one which I believe came out the week of Ian's 21st birthday.
Yes, I think it probably
because
did.
Because my first ever DJ gig was Ian's 21st birthday.
Oh.
And I think we played it 3 times.
Because it's so fucking good.
Fucking ace.
Me and my little brother have this joke that my mum's a big Slipknot fan. I can't remember how it started.
Your mum's actually a member of Slipknot. You just can't tell because of the mask.
My brother's a big Slipknot fan.
your mum's the guitarist guy with the Mick with the metal face thingy.
Yeah,
I'm really out of date on their masks. I know they've changed them a lot over the years, but I still think of the first.
They've just released new masks as well.
So. Ooh.
There's one less person as well. The Dick Nose one is not in them anymore. He's suing them.
Yes, yeah, I did hear something about that. And one, did they replace the guy that died?
Yes, and also Joey Jordison got fired.
Oh, right. So is there like 7 of them now then?
No, they've replaced Joey Jordison with a new drummer. Instead of getting one of the percussion players to play drums.
Right.
And the new drummer is boring as fuck.
Really?
They say the new song is very average and the drumming is mostly the reason.
Right.
Because he is really
boring. Because the percussion and the drums is... It's the clattering fucking 3 percussion attack.
Although,
what was interesting about it.
A solid 80% of the clattering was Joey Jordison. Like, he's a fucking interesting drummer.
Yeah, I saw him replace Lars Ulrich with Metallica at Download one year.
I wish I'd been there. I wish.
I was going to ask you if you'd heard a band who also play in masks. And I can't
Mushroom Head.
For the life of me, I can't remember their name. But they've got a really heavy psych bass sound. They usually have at least three bassists.
Evil
on
Scarecrow.
Stage.
Evil Scarecrow don't have a psych bass sound at all.
Evil Blizzard.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Evil Blizzard. So they've usually got at least three bassists, but they've had up to nine bassists on stage when
that
they're
seems.
Playing live.
Up to nine bass. On bass, all of Slipknot.
But they play with sort of latex masks and like pig masks.
That'd get really fucking hot.
And bizarre 70s glitzy costumes.
Yeah, that sounds ludicrous.
But they're musically
sounds
amazing.
Vaguely Chrome Hoof-like. Mm. And Chrome Hoof were fucking amazing live band.
In fact, one of the guys in Evil Blizzard is Stoko. Have you heard? No,
I know the name.
Looking at me blankly. Stoko is a big name within the goth scene. He was a roadie for The Mission, and basically, he's just quite
an urban well-known
legend.
Roadie.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So
next one,
cool. Filter Cancer. I go to
what number was that?
Colin gave it a 4. 17.
Yeah.
Tracy gave it a 10. It would have scored higher with me if it didn't double time at the end, which I think ruins the whole song.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Because the chorus is fucking amazing. The verse is like creepy and weird.
And it's the T-1000's brother.
I've written down almost exactly the same, like the dark rumbling guitars under the whispered verses and then that beautiful vocal melody in the chorus.
Yeah, with like the vocoder on there and stuff like that. It's fucking amazing. And then it's got that double time thing at the end and you're like... Could you just not think of a way to end this?
I do think that the lyrical content is a little dated because it's very 1999 because it is about humanity being a virus, which is very Matrix.
It is.
Yeah.
or humanity being a cancer rather than a virus. Yeah.
I really like the bit where he sounds like a pirate when he goes, "It's coming to ya."
Hey Man, Nice Shot's a better song, but that was years earlier.
Yeah.
That was a previous album.
Shed Load's better.
Yeah.
16. Ooh, so four-way tie at 16.
We do have a plan to stop the ties
for
the
future. We
do have
a plan.
Heavily Colin represented.
Ooh.
Ben Folds 5, Army.
Ooh.
Colin's almost... Colin's 8. Tracy 7. I gave it a 3 because I just wasn't really that bothered by it.
Fair enough. That album again is not his best album, but that's a fucking great track.
The only reason it didn't get higher for me is because the three tracks above it I liked lots more. I love Ben Folds. I don't know him very well. It wigs a bit in the middle for me, this particular song, but I love his voice, I love his lyrics.
And
there's always the problem, do you file him under F or B?
I always go for F.
Because
there's Ben Folds and Ben Folds 5, and it's just easiest to just put them all in the same place.
Mm. Although you could put them all in B as well. Maybe.
I could. But as Ben Folds 5 have got less records, he's done more solo stuff, it's just easier to file it all with F.
Fair.
Next to Fear Factory.
Well, obviously, that's where I put it. Here's a song that I was actually going to put on my list.
Okay.
But didn't. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, next episode.
Excellent.
Colin middled it. Tracy gave it a 3. I gave it a 10. A big fat 10.
It was... There were about 3 tracks from that album that could have gone on there.
Yeah.
Basically all the big singles.
Mm.
Forgot About Dre.
This was the best. Forgot About Dre would have got lower because just... I'm not a big Eminem fan.
No.
I mean, it's a classic and all. I knew the song, but I don't listen to rap often.
So white.
As you'll find out when we come to record the W episode.
Yes, MC wedding present. I fucking love it. And I saw Snoop Dogg at Glastonbury a few years ago.
I bet he was great. In fact, no, I saw that set on TV.
It was brilliant. It was like he was doing a greatest hits of hip-hop because he was doing loads of other people's hip-hop classics. He was doing like Jump Around and stuff like that. And I think he did In the Club by 50 Cent.
Yep.
And the way it seemed to me was it was like Snoop was going, hello, white people, let me introduce to you the music of my people.
Yes. He got a good live band
but
as well.
It was like, fucking brilliant. Really good set.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, you know, yeah, I want to hear these songs, but these are a fucking bonus.
Yeah.
You know, I was not expecting to hear all of these. And then he put Tiny Temper on stage to do his song, which was like a massive hit at the time, and that went down really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. Next one.
Okay. Pavement.
Uh-huh.
And Carrot Rope.
One of Tracy's.
In hindsight, should have marked even lower because of the terrible title.
I think that the song is called Carrot Rope. When the single was released, wasn't it Carrot Rope?
Yeah.
And it's just the way that they stylized it on the album.
On the album, yeah.
Because it's the last song on there.
And
Carrot Rope.
Yeah.
But because that's the way that they've stylized it on the album,
yeah,
it's copied that across onto Spotify. So I
now,
still call it Carrot Rope.
This was Pavement's last album, because as I mentioned at the top of this show, Pavement split up in this year.
Yeah.
I actually did buy this album in 1999. Their last album, far from their best, sadly. I was living in London at this time and meant to go and see them at Brixton Academy, and don't know why I didn't, and I've regretted it ever since, because they announced their split at that gig.
Yeah. Well,
would you have cried?
Probably.
Of course you would, it's Tracy. Should have cried just from being at the gig.
Yeah.
I've never seen them live.
So I gave this 5 points. I would have marked it so much higher if you'd have gone for Major Leagues or Spit on a Stranger from the same album. Major Leagues was probably one spot away from being on my top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know there's a band called Major Leagues who basically based themselves on Pavement?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. They're very influential.
Mm.
I like it, but I don't like it as much as other tracks.
Right, it's my favourite on the album.
It's a bit too jaunty.
I like jaunty.
Do you like happiness, Tracy?
You pretend you don't.
When I say jaunty, I didn't mean happy.
I was going to say.
I like jaunty as in angular music.
I usually say happy and jaunty.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Which is what I'm thinking of.
Jauntily.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You can wear hats at a jaunty,
jaunty angle.
But that doesn't mean happy. That just means an odd
angle.
Does.
Yeah, no, there's definitely an implication of happiness.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
Okay. And one of mine, Porcupine Tree, Don't Hate Me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have actually liked this at the time. Like, I'm pretty sure I would have been like, eh, it's all right.
I would have.
But I fucking love it. I nined it. Everyone else was fairly middle.
Yeah.
The playlist when I listen to yours...
Is it because there's a big fucking flute and saxophone breakdown?
Well, it was the first one. It opened with Porcupine Tree, Don't Hate Me, and I felt like that was you actually saying to me, don't hate me.
Well, I've got a note on here saying Tracy's going to hate the sax solo.
Yeah.
Let's see what I've written down here.
There's flute as well, though, isn't there?
That's yeah, yeah.
For fuck's sake, a sax solo. Yeah, in my notes. Too much.
Beautiful. But did you not love the incredible sadness of that? Like, the closing lyric, can I call you on the telephone now and then?
Yeah.
Like, just the way he sings now and then, it's like, oh, Stephen. Stephen. Who hurt you, Stephen? You can call me anytime you want, dude. Just give me a ring. We'll chat about some shit.
Within reason, dude. 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe.
Like, my phone's on silent at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, if you drop the sax solos, maybe.
I like their later stuff more. With Porcupine Tree. You know, from In Absentia onwards.
Yeah.
But it's still fucking great.
I mean, I still like Wilson's voice.
Yeah.
I do like his voice.
Wilson!
There is a new version. I think he's recorded a solo version of this, but it's actually a duet version, like with really powerful female vocals
with Nina
on the chorus.
Thingy.
Probably, yeah.
The lady that's doing duets with him on the last album that's really poppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, obviously, because it's a really good song.
Yeah. Next.
We're jumping straight to 12, and we've got a double 12.
Ooh.
The Flaming Lips, Race for the Prize.
Oh, I was expecting that to be higher.
Tracy was clearly expecting it to be higher, as it got her bonus point and a 10.
Well, this would have been on my list, to be honest.
I have used my bonus point in an incredibly different way.
Ooh.
I used it to give two things 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
I used it in a similar way, so that's not
Whereas I turned it up to 11.
Whatever, I didn't know. When I did it was groundbreaking to me.
but I would have had this on my list, but Colin said he was going to have it, so I jigged mine around. But it's so life-affirming.
I'm not going to lie, it was a two on mine.
Live, it's fucking amazing.
Really amazing.
It's one of the best like gig openers ever with all the...
I honestly don't
so
know
uplifting.
Whether the reason it's so low on my list is because you've been rabbling about it for so fucking long. It's like... Oh, it's all right.
What, did you like the drums? Because the drums on it are absolutely fucking massive.
They are.
It's all right.
Fair enough.
This is it. That's all I could say for it. It's all right.
Okay, cool.
You know, I've heard that keyboard line loads of times.
Yeah. Well, we used to cover it before Tracy joined the band.
Yeah. It's a great song to dance to. I remember it being played at Skull Club once, actually.
Yes.
By you, Colin?
No, I think that was probably one of Glenn's.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only ever DJed there once. It was in the bar and there was hardly anybody listening.
Yeah, I never went to one of the school clubs that you DJed at.
No.
I never went to the bar.
Yeah, you fucking did.
Yeah, the last song I went there, we were drinking what we were calling Incredible Hulks and they had to stop us. We were putting the blue WKD in cider. It just made it really, really green.
Nice.
We were fucking messed up. So
what else we got at number 12?
Number 12 is one of mine, Tom Waits, Big in Japan.
No, this is...
I did that to myself.
This is another one that I had on my list originally, but then found out
this
it was
is,
on your list.
Colin's bonus point here. He gave it 8 plus 1.
So I boosted it, so I got 2 number 9s.
No, Tracy hated it, and I 2'd it, because it's just that's where it was in my list.
Yeah.
I'd got Marduk on the bottom of my list.
Yeah. RDUK.
As they will forever be.
I love Tom Waits, though. I mean, I love his rasping voice.
Yeah.
And he's
and
just
I,
so wonderful.
I love
wonder-
the fact that the vocal, like the drum loop, is him going, ba 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 ba. Like that's...
Have you heard Real Gone, which is one of his later albums?
I haven't, no.
There's absolutely loads of his like voice percussion on it.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's really just really so wonderfully esoteric, isn't he?
He's freaking brilliant. We'll definitely do a Tom Waits episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've actually put on here, I think this will score highly, because Mule Variation's a record we all love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
But, yeah, cool. Last envelope then, for the top 10. Here we go. Oh, that should be higher. Cunts.
Are the ties?
Calm down, Colin.
There's one or two ties.
All of them are at number one.
Is there a definite winner, then? It's not tied at number
Let's
one.
Just wait.
Be fucking patient and find out.
They're not patient.
I'm not going to give you or any of the listeners spoilers.
You should never watch Game of Thrones if you're not patient.
Yeah. I'm going to be getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning later to watch the last ever episode.
I wanted to, but I'm not.
I don't even care if it gets spoiled. That last episode was so shit.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was cool.
I know.
Anyway, right. We've got a joint number 10.
Okay, what is it?
At number 10, one of my choices, Godspeed You Black Emperor. Only Helen's missed out the exclamation mark.
Well, shocking. You know, I mean, she might have put it in the wrong place. Cause
yeah.
Depending on the album cycle.
I bet she's missed out a punctuation mark in another band as well. Though.
Possibly. No, she hasn't. It's there.
Oh, good.
Blaze Bailey Finnegan III.
Yep.
From the New Right for Zero Canada EP, which was one of my picks. I'd got this at number 9. Tracy at number 6, Ian at number 6, so I got 21 points. I fucking love this song. I think it's probably my favourite Godspeed track.
Yeah.
It's a nice short one.
Yeah, you win the longest track of the,
of course I
fucking
do.
The best of 1999.
I could have won that easily.
It's a shame Dope Smoker wasn't released that year.
Yes.
Or was it? I can't remember. No, it wasn't.
If it was, it should have been on the list, and it would have been like a fucking 11 from me.
Yeah.
So when they said that Blaze Bailey was formed this year, this is what they were talking about, obviously.
Well, yes. So Godspeed You Black Emperor, who are a Canadian band.
Yep.
It's spelt differently,
it
Blaze
is.
Bailey Finnegan III. But so...
See, the thing is... Right, hang on. No, explain why.
So they've got found... They have allegedly found speech.
Yeah.
And the speech in the background is this guy who's allegedly gone to court... And he's a poet. And then later on, they ask him, and he's sort of an anarchist, they ask him to read his poetry. And his poem is the lyrics to Virus by Iron Maiden, which was the new track on the Best of the Beast album, written by Blaze Bayley.
Mm. And it's terrible.
It's probably the worst Iron Maiden song. And the way he reads it is as if it's the first time he's ever reading it as well.
Yep. Did Godspeed know who Blaze Bayley was when they called this song that, or did he... Did this poet claim that that was... Like, did they know it was Maiden lyrics?
I think he's a member of the band, speaking. It's not a real... I fail to believe that
is a
real
person.
But do
they know who Blaze Bailey is?
I think, of course, they do. I think they'll have had Best of the Beast and gone, no, that's pretty funny, let's write those lyrics down. I think they've got a much bigger sense of humour than they like to portray. And I
Maybe.
Think this is the track that shows it.
It'd have been even funnier with Wolfsbane lyrics.
Yeah, but... They wouldn't have known it. They're from Canada.
Yeah.
Whereas Iron Maiden were pretty fucking big.
Yeah.
Even at that point.
Yeah.
But the violin at the end of that is just lovely.
The whole song, the way it builds, I think it's probably one of my favourite ever post-rock tracks.
Mm. Yeah.
So, joint number 10 was one of Tracy's choices, The Herbalizer and Gold Rush.
Ooh.
Which I gave this 10 points.
Ooh.
Tracy gave it 6, Ian gave it 5.
And it's a bit of a weird one for me, because as I've said, I don't really listen to this genre too much.
It's kind of instrumental hip-hop, basically.
Yeah, sort of breakbeat. And there was a lot of stuff like it around at the time, the sort of tail end of Cypress Hill. There's another London band, Cold Cut, who are very similar.
Yeah.
And I saw them live around this time at the Scala. They confiscated my Aston Villa pen.
Good.
In case you stamped something.
They'd had lots of people graffitiing on the walls at the Scala, so they were confiscating people's pens. But it was a pen that my brother had bought for me, so I was a bit pissed off. And they said, oh, you can have it back at the end of the night. And then when I went back at the end of the night, I said, oh, I don't know, we chucked all that stuff. So I was really pissed off, and I wrote a letter of complaint, and they said I could have a pass.
What did you write it with?
Well...
perhaps that's what they were banking on.
And they gave me a free pass to a gig of my choice, which I never took up on.
For a fucking pen?
It was principle.
Okay. Yeah, like, you can complain about anything and get a free thing nowadays.
Yeah. That was then a days, 20 years ago.
Yeah, no.
However, this is a very good song. The album it's from is brilliant.
You put it on a mix CD that you did for the Skull Club, probably about 15 years ago.
Yeah, it had been about 2005, 2006 I did that.
It's always stuck in my head as being, it was the best track on that CD that you did. And I've really, always really dug it. And never investigated further. I've not heard another Herbalizer track.
Well, the album it's from, really, Very Mercenary, is a good album.
I will check it out, because I do love that track. Enough to give it 10 points.
Cool.
So, number 8 is one of Ian's.
Ah.
Therapy. 6 Mile Water.
Really?
Yeah, I gave it 9 points. Tracy gave it 6, you gave it 7. And it does have the question mark on there.
Good.
So. It's good scoring, though.
As a therapy song, though, I didn't like it a lot.
It's my favourite therapy track.
Oh, really? I think it sounds like a cross between a mediocre Husker Du song and a dull R.E.M. song.
Well, they're very influenced by Husker Du, as they cover
and
Diane.
Probably R.E.M.
Yeah.
If they...
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought so.
And I just put at the end, I'm sorry.
I really like the slide guitar solo bit, and the vocal harmonies are fucking beautiful on it.
I think this song is probably the reason I was like, you know what, I probably can do slide guitar.
Yeah.
Because, like, Andy Cairns definitely can't. But he does it in the same way that I definitely can't, which is like...
And it works.
It's got a slide on it. It's sliding between notes, but it's definitely not fucking...
It's not precise, is it?
No.
But it's great. He's not Derek Trucks.
No, he's not. But that makes it better, if anything. I honestly am surprised that Tracy didn't score it higher.
I thought Tracy would like that one.
Because, like, the production's quite lo-fi. It's really maudlin. The playing is...
I only didn't score it higher because the ones that did come above that on your list, I really liked.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Next one is one. Oh, we've got a joint number 7. So Tracy's choice, the Chemical Brothers, Asleep from the Day.
Yeah, I really like that.
And me. I gave it 7. You both gave it 8 each. So it's got 23 altogether.
Yeah. It's in another one, actually. That's one of the albums I did buy that year.
Cool. It's got Hope Sandoval from Mazzy Star.
Beautiful.
She's always a bonus.
It's just perfect pop meets electronica. I mean, and that's such a classic Chemical Brothers album. It's from Surrender. It's got Let Forever Be, the only good thing Noel ever did.
It's basically a Beatles cover anyway.
No, Set in Sun as well. Two tracks with
all of the ones that sound like Tomorrow Never Knows. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Hey Boy, Hey Girls on that album as well. Yeah, which was amazing.
I hate that.
I love it.
It got played to death and I just didn't like it.
I think I took offence of it at the time because I didn't have Sky.
Right.
So I had to get people to video MTV Super Rock for me. And in between all of the like Sepultura and Cold Chamber videos, it had got the Hey Boy, Hey Girl video, and it really didn't fit, even though it was quite a good track.
Yeah, like, it got played in rock clubs loads, and I never understood why.
They've got other tracks that would have fitted way better.
Yeah.
But not this song, not on my list.
and it just annoyed me because
of
that.
Not Asleep From Day.
Yeah, it was like a staple at the jailhouse, and I never got it.
But, Asleep From The Day is a fucking beautiful song.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of do want it to kick in at the end, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to remix it at some point. If I could ever get hold of the tracks, which isn't going to happen.
No.
But it sounds like it's going to kick in.
Yeah.
Like Private Psychedelic Reel, because that's a similar sort of Chemical Brothers-y, chill-out-y type song. But then it's, you know, the drums kick in and it just launches. And it never quite does that. It just goes back down again.
Yeah.
And I'd assume the next track on the album kicks in, but we didn't get that far because it was just one track. So, also at number 7, one of Ian's selections, Neurosis and Away.
I was honestly surprised it got this far up.
It's...
No, it's good.
As Neurosis go, it's one of the tracks that's going to get higher up from the three of us, though, isn't it? Because it's one of their more melodic ones.
Atmospherically beautiful.
I gave it 6 points. Ian gave it 8. Tracy gave it 9.
Yeah.
Ian is, in fact, wearing a Neurosis T-shirt today.
I am. Yes, when I went to the loo just, I was like, looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, we haven't covered Neurosis yet. Oh, they're top 10. Awesome. I fucking love Neurosis.
I loved this song.
It's great. Have you heard, though? So, this is off their album Times of Grace.
Yep.
They released, they have a sort of ambient side project called Tribes of Neurot, where they released an album called Grace, which was a companion album. And
you can listen to them both separately, but...
And they work, but they're designed to be listened to at the same time, like Flaming Lips Zaya Rica.
Yeah.
And so if you go on YouTube, there's people have mixed them together.
But even then,
even
they're like...
better.
It is, it's fucking phenomenal, but they say that the fact that you'd listen to it on two different stereos, so you're basically surround sound.
You've got it in quadraphonic sound, right?
And also... No matter how many times you listen to it, it's going to be different each time because you can't press play. So
didn't,
it's always
Radiohead
like
do it as well.
No,
but it's
I've made that up.
It's fucking magnificent. It's a really good album, and with that extra stuff, it's even more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
But it's, yeah, definitely. In fact, I'm going to put a link to a YouTube video in the text on the podcast notes.
Yeah, listen to the original track and then listen to the.
Tribes and the like, mix with the Tribes and Era, because it's fucking ace. So, because that was a double number 7, we go straight to number 5.
Top 5.
One of Tracy's. It is Sigaros, or Sigaros, as most people call them. Olsen,
which would obviously get high marks from all of us.
Yeah, I gave it 8. Tracy gave it 7. Ian gave it 9.
Yep.
And I can't even pronounce the name of the album it's from.
Agitis Bjørn. Probably. Fuck knows if that's
right. Sounded
good. I just said it confidently, so we'll go with it.
Yeah.
Strangely,
I'm not even going to argue that. I say it similarly to that.
Strangely, I've only got a CDR copy of this from a friend.
You're a pirate.
I know, it's terrible. I love
Vagabond.
I love Sigur Rós, but I don't know them as well as I should.
Yeah, you should. Just buy everything.
I should.
Yeah,
they're pretty consistent.
I mean, the first album of theirs I actually bought myself was Tack.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. I think it was entry level.
I think if anybody's only got one album, then it's going to be Tack.
Yeah.
And then I got a copy of this and the
parentheses album.
Yes.
Yeah, that worked really well. Tracy was miming some brackets. Because it is an album without a title, that all just of the tracks have no titles.
Yep.
Although actually they do.
Now.
They did at the time, they were working titles. That's what they ended up going with, like Vaca and stuff like
However,
that.
However, it's a beautiful song.
Olsen, it's
so gorgeous.
It's probably one of the sort of folkiest ones on there as well, with all the flutes.
Yeah.
So I can see why you've chosen it, but there's other tracks on that album that I like more.
Okay.
Which is kind of a theme for a lot of the ones on here today.
It is, isn't it? It's almost like we're different people.
It is. Right, next we have three in the fourth position.
Okay.
Ooh.
Which means we have a definite number one afterwards.
Fuck.
Right, so there's one of mine.
Which is?
American Football, Never Meant. So I gave this 10 points. Tracy gave it 8. Ian gave it 7.
Yeah. I they're one of those bands that I know that I should have got into, and I've neglected it. They're all right, you know.
Weirdly, it seems the way people are listening to it at the moment, it's almost as if they're a new band.
Well,
many people are picking up on the new album.
I've only got into them this year. It's the first time
they have had a bit of a resurgence, because I've heard of them.
They've released three albums, all self-titled.
Yeah.
But the first one was released in 1999.
Yeah.
The second one was only about 3 years ago.
Right.
So for like 16, 17 years, they only had one album.
Mm. Well, the new... I've got a bit of a My Bloody Valentine. But
their latest stuff's better than My Bloody Valentine's
new album. Yeah, the new album I'm utterly addicted to, actually.
The debut's better.
Well, I need to go back and listen to it. A really intricate guitar playing on this. It reminds me of your playing, Colin.
Really? I'm not that good.
Well,
it's more complicated than a lot. No, but I think a lot of my guitar playing is influenced by it, definitely.
But it also reminds me a little of Red House Painters.
Yeah, yeah. The sort
this
of
particular
clean,
song,
the clean tones.
Yeah.
It's definitely emo, so that would be why it reminds you of Red House Painters.
I adored this song. I've
got to give a shout out to Rich from Ignite, who used to work in Tempest in Birmingham, because this was one of his legendary, you walk into the shop, he sees you come in and goes, oh, I'm going to put this record on, and you immediately buy it. Because he's a fucking mind reader. The dude is...
He does that.
It's the most impressive talent I've ever seen anybody working in records.
Yeah, no, he's never done that to me, but I've definitely gone up and gone, what would I like?
Yeah, and he'll find
it. And he's like, what are you listening to at the moment? I'd give him three bands, and he's like, that.
Yeah.
And it's gold. I don't even listen to it in the shop. I'm like, I trust you.
Yeah.
I'll buy this.
Seriously, go to Ignite in the Oasis Centre and buy.
Also,
that.
I'm going in next Saturday, actually, before
good.
The gig.
Do it. I went to buy the Best of Converge, and he was like, don't you dare.
I'll tell him he's had a shout out.
He's like, okay.
So, the next one at number four, the second of the three at number four, is one of Tracy's.
Oh, this will be my last in the top ten, then, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
You've not won.
It is.
We're all winners here, Tracy.
We are.
You're a loser.
This is like joint. In fact, technically, this should be joint number two, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than joint number
four.
But, you know, whatevs.
Helen, what are you doing? American Football
was
number two.
Your work for you is what she's doing, Bob.
I can't do this, because then I would know who'd won.
I suppose, but.
Anyway, it's Mogwai, Cody. From Come On Die Young, which obviously...
There's definitely other songs from Come On Die Young that would have scored higher.
That are much better, yes.
Yeah. But this is a me song, isn't it? Because it's got vocals. So, yeah, you can say it for me.
My Fisher-Price, my first Mogwai.
The thing is, I mean, as you know, I was a Mogwai denier for years.
I wasn't.
As opposed
so
to
was
a Mogwai,
I, because,
a Mogwai
because
ruiner.
Because of you, Colin.
Yeah, but he was the Mogwai ruiner.
He was the ruiner, as we have discussed.
Fuck all y'all.
You ruined it for us. I could have got a solid extra 10 years of enjoying Mogwai.
I did know them from then.
See, because I already loved them so much before that, I always thought Come On Die Young was a bit of a disappointment after Young Team.
Yeah.
And I've never clicked with it as well as the later ones. But there are tracks I absolutely love on there. Ex-Cowboy, Christmas Steps, Chocky. They're all... I would put them higher than Cody.
Cody is up there in my top three.
I still gave this 9 points because it's still Mogwai and they're still better than 99.9% of all other music in the universe.
What did I give it?
You gave it 7. Me and Tracy both gave it 9.
Yeah.
So the other one at joint number 2 is another one of mine. Mint Royale featuring Lauren Laverne, Don't Falter.
Oh, it's such a good song.
It is.
Such that was the one that got my bonus point.
It is.
I would give it as dirty as 10.
I gave this 7, Tracy gave it 9, Ian gave it 8 plus his bonus point, so 9. So
I very nearly gave it 10, actually, but it couldn't quite pit Flaming Lips for me.
Do you know who it's about, Tracy?
Yes, I do know who it's about.
Who is it about?
It's about Malcolm Middleton.
Really?
Who she was going out with at the time.
Yeah.
Which is why it's got Arab strap lyrics quoted in the song.
As if I'd know that.
Summer, which, officially no, summer. No, the thing, so I mean, she's only featuring on this.
Yeah.
So, but did she write the lyrics?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking she must have, given that it had a reference to Malcolm.
Well, yeah, she wrote the lyrics. If someone's like, do you want to sing on this? They basically mean... Here's do you want to write music, your... write your lyrics?
It doesn't always work like that.
I would say most of the time.
Yeah, like 80%, I reckon.
Yeah, most of the time it's not just we like your voice, it's we want your input.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the line in it, I think too slow and drink too fast.
Yeah.
It's such a great song.
It's one of my favourite pop songs ever.
Yeah.
It is very poppy and cheerful.
Yeah. In summer.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great. But... didn't get number one.
What did get number one?
Exactly as I predicted. So the number one
is
one of Ian's.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I thought all of mine had gone. I'd lost track. So I'm fucking... this is the first one I've won. I'm well...
it is.
We're excited.
We've got one each so far in these countdown episodes. Yeah. So it's a tie. Nine Inch Nails, The Great Below.
Because it's so fucking good.
It is. I gave it 10 points, Ian gave it 10 points, Tracy gave it 7. What's your problem with it, Tracy? Your problem?
That I liked Filter, Neurosis and Tom Waits more.
You can't like Filter more than Nine Inch Nails. That's against the fucking rules.
I just did, sorry.
Yeah, like, but he's an ex-member of Nine Inch Nails.
He's an ex-member of Nine Inch Nails.
What is he?
He said some really catty shit about them.
Ouch.
Because when he released the album
That
Cancer Is On, which is not as good as The Fragile.
Title of record.
Yeah. Like, by a mile, it is not as good as...
Yeah.
The Fragile, and he called The Fragile The Flaccid because he was trying to be controversial.
Think it would have got higher for me, though. I thought for Nine Inch Nails it was quite subdued.
It was part of a double album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a really fucking long double album.
It was like quite a restrained tenseness about it, and I wanted it to let loose somewhere, but it doesn't. It just stayed quite contained.
Yeah.
I felt...
I think it's kind of building into the next track.
That fucking vocal melody. That's Trent Reznor's best vocal melody at that point. When he hit that note, I was like, oh!
His best released at that point. I think he'd recorded at the same time and All That Could Have Been.
Which was
his best vocal melody.
Oh, yeah.
But that was an outtake from that album. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. It's because it sounded too much like The Cure, I think.
Yeah, which is why it's my favourite Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole of The Fragile is a fucking beautiful album. Well deserved, well deserved, well deserved. And I think if I very, very... I obviously was going to choose a Nine Inch Nails track, but I knew Ian would.
Yeah.
I'd have probably gone for We're In This Together, I reckon.
Yeah, I almost did, but I love the vocal melody on this so much. Also, the fact that the drums are circularly panned.
Yes.
Which is fucking magnificent. When you listen to it on headphones, you're like, oh!
I remember at the time...
what's going on?
You pointing that out, and I hadn't... because I'd not listened to it on headphones yet.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me to go home and put it on headphones. Like, whoa! Because it does it on Right With Decay as well.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the second disc. What a record. It's fucking great. 1999 was brilliant.
Also,
I had a good time.
Have I told the story about the fact that I was the first person in Tamworth to definitely listen to this?
No.
Yeah, like, I went to the one music shop, and I was like, do you have The Fragile? And they were like, what? Like, literally, as the door opened. And they were like, no, I don't think we've ordered it in. I was like, ran down to More Than Music, and I was like, have you got The Fragile in? And they were like, we're just opening the box with our delivery in. And I opened it and they're like, yeah. I'm like, cool, I'm buying it right now. And then I ran to a payphone, because I didn't have a mobile at that point, I think, and I rang my friend Dean, who lived closest, and I was like, I have the new Nine Inch Nails album, I'll be with you in 10 minutes. And he's like, what? I'm like, no, you need to listen to it. Because it would take me longer to get home than it would to get to your house, so we're doing this. And he was like, okay, cool.
Awesome.
Excellent. So albums that didn't make it to any of our lists, actually, that nearly did, I very nearly went with a Sparkle Horse track from Good Morning Spider. Not sure now what I would have picked, but it's a beautiful album, although another one that I didn't listen to until maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Gomez, yeah. Gomez were a big thing in 1999.
Yeah, I know.
But then when I weighed it up with everything else I was listening on my list, I thought,
would that
nah.
have been Gomez's first album or their second album?
Liquid Skin.
That was their second
album. Second, yeah.
Their first album had way better stuff on it.
Definitely.
Because if we're doing this for a couple of years earlier... 78 Stone Wobble may well have been on there.
Yeah, and if I was being a narcissist, and if it was on Spotify, I would have included a track by Greg Weeks. There's an album called Fire in the Arms of the Sun. It was actually self-released in 1997, but then he put
doesn't
it out.
Doesn't count then.
But he put it out on Bada Bing label
no,
in 1999.
Don't count.
It's a reissue. However,
reissues don't count.
However, there's a song about me on it.
Doesn't count.
So,
is it actually about you?
Yes, it's actually about me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Is it a song where the lyrics are, but this was released in 1997, so what the fuck are you talking about on the 1999 best of?
But it's called Tracy Bowen's Double Life.
And oh, you've mentioned that before.
And it is actually about me. So that came out in 1999, sort of. And then the
is that
other
because you're a serial killer at night?
No.
Is it because you listen to cool bands at night?
It's a play on words from Krzysztof Kieslowski film, The Double Life of Veronique, that we saw together in Manchester.
It's not that much of a play on words, is it?
Not really.
You just changed the name in there to yours.
Yeah. and then the other one that didn't make it to the list, and I was really surprised that Ian didn't pick anything from the Anal Cunt album.
I almost did, to be honest.
Which one? Which track were you going to go with?
See, that's the thing, right? Because I'm... Honestly, the song titles are better than the songs.
They are. Was I Sold Your Dog to a Chinese Restaurant?
That was the one that was on my it was on my almost list, because that's basically the one that, if we put it on a playlist, people wouldn't be like, you're fucking terrible human beings.
Yeah. It just depends.
Everything,
some of them would.
Yeah, but...
It's not
anywhere near as bad as Tim Is Gay or... I got an office job for the sole purpose of sexually harassing women.
Yes.
Which is a bit wordy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just a childish song, not a fucking massively offensive song. But no.
Unlike Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Mm. But, see, the thing is, like, that's a debate, though, isn't it? Because who was that hip-hop artist that pulled, like, a white girl out of the audience and she sang along and then she got really vilified
for singing
the actual lyrics?
Like, yeah.
They're the actual lyrics.
It's a massive fucking minefield.
Yeah.
Like, we might have to get into in a couple of episodes.
It's a really, really tricky one, because it's like, you want to sing... Like, I mean, if I got dragged up to sing on stage with the artist that did it, I would want to sing the lyrics.
I would be like, can we just clarify something different?
Yeah.
Let's just stop. Can I have in writing whether that is okay?
Yeah, it's like, look, I'm totally happy to do this, but there's a lot of N-bombs in here. Am I singing them? Am I not singing them? Like, just clarify, right? In front of this whole audience, then we will know.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a tricky one.
Because it is not something we would ever say in everyday life. However, it is in the lyrics of the song which we are about to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And that's the thing.
It's a fucking minefield.
Yeah, when I did 99 Problems at karaoke, I finished it and everyone was like, oh God, you smashed it. And I was like, oh my God, it's word perfect. Oh no.
Next month, back to our normal programming, where we will be talking about the letter T, isn't it?
This Will Destroy You.
Yeah, and Tool.
Yeah.
So, we've been We Dig Music. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Blimey, so that means... God, how did that get into... fuck's sake. Wow, so that means... Oh, my God, that's in the top 10 then. Fucking hell. Ooh. I don't know the order, but I've just done a quick scan of what's in. That means two of yours. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.